भगवद गीता चैप्टर 15 टेक्स्ट 5 निर्माण मोहा जित संग दोषा अध्यात्म नित्या विनिवृत्त कामा द्वंद्वे विमुक्ता सुख दुख संज्ञे गच्छन्त्यमूढा पदमव्ययम् तत् आर फ्री फ्रॉम फॉल्स प्रेस्टीज इल्यूजन एंड फॉल्स एसोसिएशन हु अंडरस्टैंड द इटर्नल हु आर डन विद मटेरियल लस्ट हु आर फ्रीड फ्रॉम द ड्युअलिटीज ऑफ हैप्पीनेस एंड डिस्ट्रेस एंड हु अनबिविल्डर्ड नो हाउ टू सरेंडर अंडर द सुप्रीम पर्सन अटेन टू दैट इटर्नल किंगडम पर्पर्ट By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The surrendering process is described here very nicely. The first qualification is that one should not be deluded by pride. Because the conditioned soul is puffed up, thinking himself the lord of material nature, it is very difficult for him to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should know by the cultivation of real knowledge that he is not lord of material nature. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Lord. When one is free from delusion caused by pride, he can begin the process of surrender. For one who is always expecting some honor in this world, it is not possible to surrender to the Supreme Person. Pride is due to illusion, for although one comes here, stays for a brief time and then goes away, he has the foolish notion that he is the Lord of the world. He thus makes all things complicated and is always in trouble. The whole world moves under this impression. People are considering the land, this earth, to belong to human society, and they have divided the land under the false impression that they are the proprietors. One has to get out of this false notion that human society is a proprietor of this world. When one is freed from such a false notion, he becomes free from all the false associations caused by familial, social and national affections. These faulty associations bind one to this material world. After this stage, one has to develop spiritual knowledge. One has to cultivate knowledge of what is actually his own and what is actually not his own. And when one has an understanding of things as they are, he becomes free from all dual conceptions such as happiness and distress, pleasure and pain. He becomes full in knowledge, then it is possible for him to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. So we welcome everyone on this first day of this new year to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. So today we are discussing this interesting verse. I would like to read the translation once again. Those who are free from false prestige, illusion and false association, who understand the eternal, who are done with material lust, who are freed from the dualities of happiness and distress, and who, unbewildered, know how to surrender unto the Supreme Person, attain to that eternal kingdom. So Krishna is instructing Arjuna in the science of Bhagavad Gita. For most people, spirituality seems to be a very foreign concept, a very unfamiliar concept. But actually, what is spirituality? That Srila Prabhupada explains, and he says that spirituality actually means understanding and accepting facts. It's very simple. Understanding and accepting facts. Understanding things as they are. Basically, it's common sense. But unfortunately, in this world, common sense is very uncommon. For example, practically the whole world is celebrating the New Year today. But what is this celebration of the new year from a common sense point of view. Now, in this world, does anyone want to become old? No. If someone is, say, 35 years old, and I ask that gentleman, "Sir, are you 37 years old?" He'll feel very hurt. He'll say, no, I am 35. Or if I tell him 36, he will say 35 running. To tell 36, to accept 36 is a very difficult thing for him. And everyone likes to be called younger than what he is. No one wants to become old. No one wants to become old in this world. Maybe except a small section of society. Maybe children of the age group of 7 to 17. They want to be older. They are waiting to become young and old. They want to come to their teens. But anyone in their teens or beyond the teenage years, they don't want to grow older anymore. Nobody wants to grow old in this world. But everyone is celebrating the coming of old age. We are celebrating that one more year of our life has passed. That is what New Year celebration is. Doesn't make any sense. It defies all common sense. We are celebrating that we have become older and we are closer to death. No one wants to become old. But we are celebrating the commence of old age. What a ridiculous thing. So spirituality actually means getting a common sense understanding of the facts of life. What is life actually? So Prabhupada very nicely puts it here. One can attain Krishna consciousness or divine life at once, within a second. Or one may not attain such a state of life even after millions of births. And then he says, it is only a matter of understanding and accepting the fact. It is only a matter of understanding and accepting the fact. If you understand and accept facts as they are, then we attain spiritual, divine life in a moment. Or if you are not able to understand and accept things as they are, attaining spiritual life may take many billions of lifetimes. So it's a very simple thing. Just understand and accept the facts. And what we should understand, Prabhupada explains in this particular verse. Nirmana moha jita sanga dosha adhyatma nitya vinivritta kama dvandver vimukta sukha dukkha samnyar gachyantya muda padam avyayam tap. In this, he explains what we are supposed to understand. We are supposed to understand that we are nothing and God is everything. We are actually nothing. We are neither the proprietors of anything in this world, nor are we the maintainers of anything in this world. Factually, as one of my professors had put it very nicely. One of my professors, philosophy professors in my college, the Indian Institute of Technology, he made a point. He said that people in this world think that they are very great, but one thing we can all understand, that what difference it will make to the world if only we cease to exist? What difference will it make to the world? Nothing. If only we cease to exist, the whole Bombay city is running, the entire world is running, all the planetary systems, the entire universe is functioning in so many ways. If only we cease to exist from this entire universe, what difference does it make to the universe? Nothing. But still we feel that we are something. And Prabhupada says here that because we feel we are something, we make all things complicated in this world. If only we understand and accept that we are nothing and God is everything, then we have attained divine life in a moment. But to understand and accept these simple facts takes elaborate procedures of spirituality for most people, which might span over a lifetime. That is a problem. Because we are used to thinking that we are something, that I am very important. Simply to understand and accept the facts takes a long time. So speaking about time, it's a very interesting phenomena. Especially on New Year's Day, people tend to take New Year resolutions. And they feel that in the coming year, I want to achieve certain milestones or targets. I want to do something which I have not able to do so far. Something new. And I want to make a difference in my life. Let's make a difference in our lives. Henceforth, that is practically the thought in everyone's mind during New Year. But somehow, it so happens that the next year comes and most of us find ourselves where we were the previous year. Only to make newer resolutions. Time passes and it looks like we are where we were. Nothing actually seems to happen. It's practically the feelings of everybody in this world. New Year resolutions, but nothing happens year after year. And we wonder, why is this so? Why I cannot take advantage of time and do something using time which makes a real difference in my life? With the passage of time, we want to do something which will make an impact on our life. With the passage of time, we want to do something that will give us real satisfaction, real fulfillment. And whatever New Year resolutions we take, it's generally an attempt towards this end. To do something that will give us increased satisfaction and increased fulfillment in the coming year. But why doesn't it happen most of the times? So to understand this phenomena, experts have come up with time management techniques. How to manage time in such a way that we can get the best use out of time. We can make the most out of time. So in the coming year, how we can plan out things that everything goes on smoothly and very nicely. That is the subject matter of time management. A teacher entered a classroom with an empty jug. And he filled the jug with big rocks. And he asked the students, is the jug full? And the students replied, yes. But then the teacher brought smaller stones and poured it into the jug, and the smaller stones occupied the free space in between the big rocks within the jug. So now the teacher asked, now is the jug full? The students replied, yes, now it is full. Earlier it wasn't full, but now it seems to be full. Now the teacher brought some sand and poured the sand, and the sand occupied the smaller gaps between the stones. Now the teacher asked, is the jug now full? The student said, yes. Earlier it wasn't full, now it is really full. Actually, now it is full. Now the teacher came with some water and poured the water also into the jug. And the jug could even hold the water. Now the jug was actually full. So many things could be fit in that little jar or the jug. Now what the teacher did was, first she put the water into the jug. And then she put the sand. And then she put the stones. And by the time she put these three things, the jug was already full and there was no more space for the big rocks anymore in the jug. The teacher asked the students, what do you learn from this experiment? Initially, the jar was filled in one particular order. And next, the jar is filled with the opposite order. But when the jar is filled in the opposite order, many things couldn't fit in the jar anymore. What do you learn from this? The teacher asked. And it was a time management classroom. So what was the lesson to be learned? The lesson is, if we compare the jar to the total amount of time that we have in our lives, and we compare the different commodities that is put into the jar to the different activities we perform in our time, then what is to be understood is, depending upon the order in which we place our activities, depending upon how we plan our activities within the time that we have, to that extent we'll be able to manage our time very nicely. We can fit in more activities into the same amount of time and can achieve more in life. Now, in what order are the activities to be fixed into the jar of time? That is a question. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan ki. Just like when the big rocks were put in the jar first, the jar could be filled up with more number of things. But when the big rocks were kept towards the end, the jar couldn't be filled up with all the things. So similarly, time management experts say that we have to identify the most important activities in our lives first, and then fit in those activities into our time schedule first. And when that is done, then the rest of the activities can be scheduled for the rest of the time that we have at our disposal. So time management, the first principle of time management is identifying the most important activities. Identifying the big rocks. The big rocks, when they are identified and when they are filled in first, then everything falls into place in due course of time. Similarly, time management involves, the first principle of time management is recognizing the most important activities that we have to perform. And when the time for those activities are allocated, then other activities can fit in the gaps and can occupy the rest of the space. Now, another interesting concept which comes in time management is the time management matrix, which is divided into four quadrants. What it basically means is the total, all the activities that we perform can be divided into four categories or into four quadrants, as they call it. The first quadrant or the first kind of activities are activities that are urgent and important. Basically, the time management matrix speaks about four kinds of activities that we perform every day, every year, and during our lifetimes. So the first kind of activity that we perform is urgent and important activities. Activities that are urgent and important. For example, someone, a student, who has got examinations on the very next day. So his studying is an urgent and an important activity. He cannot delay the studies. So he has to put aside all other things and study immediately. So it is urgent and it is important. Or someone who has neglected some sickness that he has been having. So at a particular point of time, the sickness becomes so much, it grows to such an extent that he has to be admitted to the hospital immediately. So then it becomes an urgent and important activity. Taking care of the health becomes an urgent and important activity. So this is the first kind of activity that all of us perform. Activities that are urgent and important. Second kind of activities that we all perform are activities that are not urgent but important. It's like the student studying for an examination which is going to come 1 month later. So his studying now may not be an urgent activity, but it is an important activity. Or maybe someone keeping good health by regular exercise. So performing regular exercises and having a good diet is an important activity, may not be urgent, but it is an important activity. Or taking care of family members' needs. It may not seem to be urgent, but it's an important activity. These are the second kind of activities that all of us perform. Now the third kind of activities is activities that are urgent but are not important. For example, the phone is ringing. We have to pick up the phone. It is an urgent activity but may not be an important activity. The phone call may not be urgent. It might be a friend just wanting to do some time pass. Or someone comes and invites us to watch a movie, say. And because that friend is asking us to perform that activity, we might feel that it's urgent because he's calling us. It's not an important activity though. And practically all the billboards in Bombay, they're promoting urgent but not important activities. Why are there so many billboards on the roadsides? Everywhere, so many billboards. Wherever we go in Bombay, there are billboards everywhere. Each billboard is trying to convey us the urgency of its message. Buy this commodity, it's urgent for you. That is the whole propaganda of the advertisement industry. to convince us that buying a particular commodity is of urgent value for us, even though it is not important. So practically all the activities that are promoted by modern civilization, by the media, by the billboards, are activities that fall into this category. Urgent but not important activities. A new movie has come in the market, in the theaters, and there is an urge that I have to watch it as soon as possible. The same movie can be watched after 3 months also, but no. People are ready to stand in queues as soon as it is released for hours together. Why is it so urgent? It seems to be so urgent, even though it is not important. It seems to be very urgent. Will the movie change after 3 months? No, it is going to remain the same. But it seems to be a very urgent activity. So it's urgent but not important activity. Or a person who is addicted to cigarettes. When he requires a cigarette, it seems to be an urgent activity. I need a cigarette now. But is it an important activity? Not at all important. So most activities which are promoted and most activities that we perform during our lifetimes can be categorized into this. Urgent but not important activities. Urgent but not important activities. Most activities of the modern civilization are urgent but not important activities. And the last is not urgent, not important. Sleeping unnecessarily, that can be categorized into this kind of activity. Or as people call as time pass, that can be categorized as not urgent, not important activities. People like to hang out here and there and everywhere. So it's not urgent and not an important activity also. Or nowadays, on the internet, so many new activities are coming up, promoted by so many sites like Orkut or Facebook, etc. They promote not urgent, not important activities. So in this way, all the activities that we perform can be categorized into one of these four classifications. Urgent and important, not urgent but important, urgent, not important, and not urgent and not important. These four kinds of activities. Now the whole time management involves bringing our activities more and more into the Q2 quadrant. That means the more we perform activities that are not urgent but are important, the more the quality of our life will improve. A simple example. A student who studies regularly, his studies is a not urgent but an important activity. But if he performs these activities of studying regularly, even though it doesn't seem to be urgent, then what happens is he can perform well in the long run. But if he does not perform not urgent but important activities, if he does not perform not urgent but important activities, what happens is he'll find himself very soon in the urgent and important quadrant. That means he'll find the examinations closing by, coming very close, and he has to hurry up. And he has to do some kind of quick study which won't bring the best out of him. Similarly, a working professional in this world, if he doesn't identify These kinds of activities, which don't seem to be urgent but are very important, if we doesn't identify these activities and doesn't allot time for these activities first, what happens is very soon he will find his life in a mess. Doing the project on time, any given project, professional project which is given at the workplace, not doing the project on time. Now, doing the project on time may not seem to be an urgent activity, but it's an important activity. But the general tendency is to procrastinate. Let me do it later. Until the same activity becomes urgent. And once it becomes urgent, we might solve the problem, but we cannot solve the problem in the best possible way. That is always the case. So if we want to make a change in our lives, time management experts say that we have to identify not urgent but important activities. Once we identify the not urgent and important activities and allot sufficient time for these activities first, then what happens is, in due course of time, we will see the quality of our life slowly improving. These are the big rocks, the most important things, which don't seem to be urgent immediately. It's a common thing. In hostels especially, a student is studying and a friend comes to him and he mocks him. You know, why are you studying now? Exams are 1 month later. Come on, let's go and have fun. Let's engage in urgent but not important activities. Come, let's have fun. Let's go out. And the tendency is to succumb to such temptations. So the more we identify activities that are important in our lives, maintaining relationships within the family, maintaining good physical health, taking care of the needs of our family members, these are important activities but may not seem to be very urgent activities. Or doing our assigned projects on time may not seem to be urgent, but it's an important activity. We have to identify these activities and we have to give them first priority in our lives. Allot time for these activities first, and then other activities can be adjusted for the remaining amount of time. Time management experts give the triple S formula for time management. Triple S formula. The first S is shrink activities in the Q1 quadrant. What does that mean? Shrink activities that are urgent and important. Try to reduce activities that are urgent and important. And how is that made possible? By doing things on time. When we do our things on time, then we don't have to spend time doing urgent and important activities. If you recognize the importance of an activity well beforehand and do it properly, then that activity won't become urgent anymore. If a student studies on time, then it won't become an urgent and important activity to study just before the examinations, because he is well prepared for the examinations well in time. So the first S of the triple S formula is shrink activities in the Q1 quadrant, because many times people find themselves doing things which seems to be very urgent and very important. Oh, this project has come up. And many times software engineers, they are late night, 12:30, 1 o'clock. And it seems that we are always doing activities that seems to be very urgent and very important. And it looks like we don't have time for anything else. We are always in urgency. It looks like we are always doing things which are very urgent. We are not able to live the life in a satisfactory way. Many people have this feeling. I'm not able to lead a satisfactory life because I'm always running around doing urgent things. What is the reason? Because we don't do our activities on time, we find ourselves in the urgent and important quadrant. So the first S is shrink activities of the Q1 quadrant. And the second S of the triple S formula is say no to Q3 activities. So say no to activities that seem to be urgent but are not important. Most of our time is wasted doing things that seem to be urgent but are not very important. Few examples I gave. You know, wasting time doing certain things which are not actually important, which don't add to the quality of our life, but seems to be very urgent because of the propaganda that is going on in the world around us. Seems to be very urgent. For example, students in hostels often have this syndrome. Especially if they have got easy access to the internet. Oh, it's already 2 hours since I have not checked my mail. So they simply go and they check their mail every 2 hours. If they're not able to check their mails every now and then, every 2 hours they'll feel uneasy. They feel it's an urgent activity. But every 2 hours, who is crazy in this world to send a mail to them every 2 hours? This is not an important activity, but it seems to be urgent. So one has to say no to activities that seem to be urgent but are not important. That means one has to restrain one's impulsive behavior, instinctive behavior. In this world, instinctive behavior is becoming more and more popular. The slogan is just say yes. Whatever we feel like doing it, just do it immediately, even though it may not be an important activity. Instinctive, impulsive behavior. You go to the supermarket and you see something on the shelf. It seems to be urgent to buy that commodity, even though it is not important. Logically speaking, that commodity may not have any importance, but the impulsive behavior is to buy it immediately. So basically, urgent but not important activities are activities that are impulsive, instinctive. The mind says something and we do it immediately. So for effective time management, we have to learn to say no to these kinds of activities that seem to be urgent but are not very important. So a student might be sitting for studying and the mind says, come on, you have to check your mail. It seems to be an urgent activity. But of course, it is not important. Checking mail once in a day is sufficient, more than sufficient. But the mind says, no, it's urgent. So the student has to learn to say no to such an activity. No, I won't do this activity. Basically, say no to instincts or an impulse that comes from the mind. So this is the second S of the triple S formula. Say no to activities in the Q2 quadrant. Say no to urgent but not important activities. And the third S of the triple S formula is slacker activities should be avoided. Slacker activities are activities which come in the Q4 quadrant. Activities that are not urgent and not important. So one has to totally avoid such kind of activities. Activities that are in common terminology called time pass activities, which are of no consequence. Walking around here and there, killing time, as people call it. These are not urgent and not important activities. Or nowadays, simply sitting on the net and browsing through different web pages for no reason whatsoever. So these are not urgent and not important activities. So one has to totally avoid slacker activities. So this is a triple S formula for time management. Now the point is, these things are easily said than done. The first S is shrink Q1 quadrant. And second S is say no to Q3 activities. And the third S is slacker activities are to be avoided. What it effectively means is spend most of your time doing important activities that may not seem urgent. Identify the most important activities in your life. Give them first priority, even though those activities may not seem to be urgent activities. This is the essence of time management, given by time management experts. It is not me speaking. But how to practically go about it? Factually, effective time management can be done only when one understands the principles of the Bhagavad Gita. Now, from the Bhagavad Gita's point of view, what are these Q1, Q2, Q3 and Q4 activities? That has to be understood. Now, Q1 activities, they are activities that are urgent and important, such activities which are to be done in a hurry. Which person will find himself doing such activities? A person who tends to procrastinate things, who is always postponing things. A person at his workplace who is always postponing things. I'll do this later. I'll do this later. I'll do this later. And when the deadline comes, he's busy doing urgent and important activity. Or a student who is always postponing his studies. He's supposed to study, he knows, but he keeps postponing until the examination comes. Until the previous day of the examination. When suddenly the same activity of study becomes an urgent and an important activity. An activity in the Q1 quadrant. So people who are procrastinating, who have a tendency to postpone things. I'll do this later. I'll do this later. I'll do this later. These people find themselves always doing urgent and important activities, and they cannot lead a satisfactory and happy life. They cannot be peaceful. How can they be peaceful? They're always in a hurry, always in anxiety. Always in urgency. Why? Because they have procrastinated things. And Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, procrastination is a symptom of tamoguna. Krishna speaks of the gunas, mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. And he says, this is typical of a person in tamoguna, or the mode of ignorance. He says, Krishna says, that a person in tamoguna has a tendency to postpone things always. So naturally, he'll find himself performing Q1 activities all the time. So from the Bhagavad Gita's point of view, for effective time management, number one, one has to shrink the Q1 quadrant, or one has to rise above the mode of ignorance or rise above tamoguna. This is the first principle of time management from the Bhagavad Gita's perspective. Come out of tamoguna. And another S of the triple S formula is, slacker activities are to be avoided. Slacker activities or time pass activities. And again the Gita says that people who are bewildered or in illusion, or people who are confused about what to do or what not to do, they are people in tamoguna or in the mode of ignorance. So again, according to the principles of the Bhagavad Gita, for effective time management, one has to rise above the mode of ignorance. So out of the triple S in effective time management, 2S can be achieved by rising above the mode of ignorance. And the third S is to say no to Q3 activities. Say no to instinctive behavior. And instinctive behavior, according to the Bhagavad Gita, is activity in the mode of passion or rajoguna. So, in order to say no to Q3 activities, one has to rise above the mode of passion or rajoguna according to the principles of the Bhagavad Gita. So according to the principles of the Bhagavad Gita, for effective time management, one has to follow the triple S formula. And for achieving to follow the triple S formula, one has to rise above the modes of ignorance and passion. And one has to come to the mode of goodness. And what is the mode of goodness? Doing activities at the right time, when it is supposed to be done. Doing the right activities at the right time, that is a symptom of a person in sattva-guna. So a person in the sattva-guna is a person who performs Q2 activities, or who spends most of his time performing important activities that may not be urgent. So if we combine time management and Bhagavad Gita together, then we can effectively manage our time. Theoretically, we might understand the triple S formula given by time management experts. But in order to practically implement the triple S formula in our lives, one has to learn to follow the principles of the Bhagavad Gita to rise above the modes of ignorance and passion, to rise above tamoguna and rajoguna, and to come to the point of sattva-guna. And Bhagavad Gita is a book which gives us proper guidelines of how to come above the lower modes, to come above tamoguna, rajoguna, or the modes of ignorance and passion, and to be situated in sattva-guna. So time management experts, what they say is perfectly right, But what they lack is an understanding of how to apply the triple S formula practically in our lives. And to be able to practically apply the triple S formula in our lives, one has to understand the principles of the Bhagavad Gita. One has to understand the dynamics of how the gunas work. What exactly is the mode of ignorance? What exactly is the mode of passion? What exactly is the mode of goodness or sattvaguna? How to come above the modes of tamoguna and rajoguna to the platform of sattvaguna? That has to be understood, and that can be understood only through understanding and applying the Bhagavad Gita. So even from a purely efficient time management perspective, one can actually make tangible changes in the forthcoming year if he tries and implements the principles of the Bhagavad Gita slowly but surely. Or else, year after year, time will pass by and you will continue wondering why nothing is happening, why life seems to be the same. Life will remain the same as long as we don't understand how to manage our times properly. The year that is ahead of us, how to manage it properly? How to manage it properly? By applying the triple S formula. How to apply the triple S formula? Practical implementation of the triple S formula is only possible if we learn and apply the principles of the Bhagavad Gita in our lives. It is very easy to understand. Time management experts might go on giving seminars on the triple S formula. It looks very attractive. It looks perfectly logical, and it is logical, and it is perfectly right. But it is not practical to apply it unless one understands the dynamics of what the gunas are, what the modes of material nature are, and how to rise above tamoguna and rajoguna and come and to be situated in sattvaguna. First of all, one has to understand what is tamoguna, rajoguna and sattvaguna from the Bhagavad Gita. So Bhagavad Gita is a perfect book. And slowly but surely, people even in the corporate world are recognizing it. Is the perfect book for all kinds of management, including perfect practical time management as well. So hopefully, in the forthcoming year, we'll try to understand the Bhagavad Gita, and if we make a serious attempt to actually using our intelligence try to understand and study what the Bhagavad Gita has to say, then definitely we can make a change in our lives. It is possible. Or else, time just passes by and we wonder how time just slipped away from our fingertips. Every student, at the beginning of every new academic year, he feels that I wasted my previous year, but this year I am going to study very well. But time passes by and he finds himself in the same situation in the next year also. That is the case with every man on the planet. Every year he makes resolutions, New Year resolutions. And the only things that he makes on New Year days, New Year resolutions, but he doesn't know how to practically implement those resolutions during the forthcoming year. The resolutions remain as they are on New Year's Day, but the year passes by until the next 1st January when new resolutions are made again. But why no change is taking place? Because we don't know the secret of how to bring about a change. The secret lies in this sacred literature, which is the Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna, towards the end of the Bhagavad Gita, he tells Arjuna that one who studies this conversation of ours will worship me through his intelligence. Because this is a perfect book, which has got everything that is required to transform and mold our lives. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Is there any one question? Thank you very much.